It was a video on YouTube that somebody posted, and it was at a basketball game. And there were two people, young people, sitting in the front row. And there was an empty seat next to this girl. And then as the film continued, you see the two people, the girl talking to her friend, and then this man comes into the video, and he sits down next to her. And the man was LeBron James. And the girl, they said, just keep watching. And the girl suddenly, you know, it dawned on her that LeBron James was sitting next to her, and she went like this. And she couldn't look at him, and she was laughing, and she was looking at her friend, and she was just so excited. She couldn't believe that she was sitting next to the greatest basketball player in the world, and he was right there next to her, and he was just kind of, like, you could tell that he knew that she knew who he was. And it just really struck me, and it was so fun to watch her reaction when she was sitting next to this famous ball player. And I couldn't help but think, you know, when I looked at the scripture today, what will it be like when we go to heaven and we see Jesus face to face, right? Aren't we going to be like, it's him, you know? I mean, can you believe that I'm, like, in the presence of Jesus, my Savior? I'm here. It's all true. He's brought me into his place, and there he is, just like that, you know? It's amazing what happens in our lives and what God gives us to show us himself, isn't it? It could be all kinds of different things when we look for it in that kind of a way. And that's what we have here in this incredible, incredibly wonderful, beautiful glimpse into heaven that God has blessed us with in his word today. John is given a vision through Jesus, his Savior, of what is to come in heaven. And he looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And here is the picture of those people. And that is also the picture of us joining with the multitude on that glorious day when God gives it to us. And we will be worshiping him in the multitude. I'm sure that you had the same remembrance as I did of Jesus giving the Great Commission. Is it not found in completion in the words, "a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages"? Isn't it beautiful to see in God's word that he shows us the fruition of the Great Commission that he sends us on, and that we see here before us, and that we don't have to doubt that the people that we share the gospel with will be counted in this multitude? Isn't it wonderful that God encourages us in that way when we live in a world where it seems that people have turned their hearts against God and they don't love him? But he shows us right here the fruit of all of the work that he has given to us to do. And we are counted among that number when we believe in Jesus and we worship him here. And this is just a small gathering, but it is part of a greater gathering and a greater congregation that is meeting throughout this world at this time, where people are sleeping and they're going to wake to a day where they will be worshiping together, but we are all together in that multitude. It's so beautiful to think that in a world where there's so much hatred and violence and people are treating each other with so much disdain and hatred, that God is forming this beautiful day when people come to gather together for eternity before God and say, "Salvation belongs to our God." Why? Because they have experienced it and they are living it. And that is what we do now. We have a glimpse into heaven to restore our souls and to be able to lift us up and to be feeling good about life and knowing that we have a part of that inheritance. Praise God. Praise God. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The word throne is a huge word in the Bible that teaches us about heaven and kingdom, the kingdom of God. Right? We just heard about that. The kingdom of God is like a hidden treasure that is in a field, and it causes someone who finds it to give up all that they have and to buy that field because they know that that's the most important thing. The kingdom of God. It's so wonderful to be a part of the kingdom of God. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. There are two amens. It's a twofold amen, and there's a sevenfold praise. Let's count it, right? Glory and blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, let these words be on our lips. Let that sentence there of praise be memorized and committed into our hearts so that we can also sing now in anticipation of heaven. To know that God has given us that gift today in His Word, this very Word, so that other people can hear it from us, to be posted on Facebook, to be spread around in whichever way that we can, giving it out freely as God's witnesses and the ones who have been saved. He is our salvation. What a wonderful gift God has given to us and all these things. Blessing. What do you have today to be happy about? You're blessed. You're blessed. There is glory. Glory that God gives to us through His light and His power and all these things. Wisdom. You possess wisdom because God is wisdom. Thanksgiving. We are thankful in our hearts, not just one time a year, but all through the year. Honor. Honor. Honor your mother and father. Amen? Honor your mother and father. The lesson for today's life prep. Power and might be to our God. That means that we acknowledge Him as the one who possesses all of those seven things. And it's a full number. The number seven is so important. And it is used here to define and to show us all that God is so that we can be blessed and feel good about life and want to be giving Him all the glory. And those words were spoken by angels. And so not only is the great multitude there of believers, but there are angels that are mixed together that we will join in heaven with angels. Not just think about them or hear about them, but we will live that. And then there are elders who are also a form of a very well-respected angel in heaven, dressing and saying, and then he asked this question. One of the elders asked this question. It's actually knowing the answer and wanting to give the answer. Who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he bids the angel to tell him. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, there is going to be a tribulation. There's going to be a time. In the end, in the song that we sing at the end of our service each time, it says to free us from that time, take us from that time of tribulation, right? There's going to be a time when the forces of evil are all going crazy because they know that the end for themselves is coming near. And they are going to persecute Christians. They are going to persecute those people. But the ones that come from that, some of them are going to be martyred, but some of them will come without being martyred, without being killed. These are the ones coming from the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And we come to this blood of the Lamb that washes us white as snow. It's a kind of a contradiction of terms, but that is the way that God uses His great power to describe to us the extent of His salvation. That blood, this thing that we are trying to remove, like a stain in white clothing, is going to result in the cleanness of mankind, of hearts being made pure and having that kind of effect. And so the way that we think about things and the way that we imagine things in our limited abilities as human beings is being used by God to open our eyes to the great things that he has done for us. That our way of thinking, this is contradictory. This seems to be kind of strange that these two would be together. Blood washing me white as snow. Yes, because it is from the pure one. It is from the one who's without sin, Jesus Christ. He's the one who died on the cross for us. And his blood has that effect. It is power-filled so that we are washed clean of these sins. And we have no idea. We have no idea, unless we read the Bible, how strong death is and how sin is, but we learn, thank God, how great God is to cancel out all sin and to take it away from us. Aren't you excited to hear that? Isn't it wonderful, the things that God does for us to do that? And that's why they're wearing these white robes, because Jesus has made it this way. And then we come to the end. Therefore, take these words in. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Imagine yourself before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. We had a wonderful song today that talked about the presence of God. Right? It's like that girl that was in the presence of some kind of a great person, like a basketball player that's so famous, and it makes her feel all kind of funny insides, and she doesn't know what to do. But it's much greater than that with Jesus, right? We're in the presence of Almighty God. But it does have that effect upon us. It takes us out of our mundane thoughts and our going to a basketball. What's a basketball game? I've been to many of them, and I go and I pay my tickets and I sit there and I watch the game, and sometimes my team wins and sometimes they don't. But I can tell everybody now that I sat next to LeBron James. And that's what God does. He puts his son next to us. And we boast of him when we say, I have been touched by the Son of God. I have been introduced. Who am I? My life was just an average life. It was just going, I was going through everything. I did things that everybody does. But then the Savior came into my life, and my life was changed forever. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. Imagine, there's no more hunger, no more thirst. The sun shall not strike them, reminiscent of a beautiful psalm that talks to us. Remember, we heard this recently. The sun now shall not strike thee by day, nor the moon by night, because God is with you. Nothing will harm you. And it's all through eternity. That is our future as Christians. No scorching heat will come near them. And when this is written in this section of the Bible, in Revelation, and reflecting back on the Psalms, it helps us to be able to see the greatness of God, that he is in the Old Testament foreshadowing and predicting and also prophesying about something that is everlasting, not just for the moment. Not just for the moment of those people there, but it is now being shown in heaven. And so the things that we see here on earth are a foreshadowing of what we will experience in heaven. And that is why we quickly run into the arms of Jesus and we say, take me, because I want to be in that future. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be with you. I want to share my life with you forever. You who has come and washed my sins away and has given me a new meaning in life. For the Lord, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And this is the one thing that is kind of like a contradiction of terms. How can he be both the Lamb and the shepherd? But we also had another symbol of that mentioned in one of the songs. Do you know what it was? The Lion of Judah. A lion and a lamb. How can he be both? Because he's God. Because he's the Lord. Because he's using those symbols to be able to teach us that he is what we think of as being a ferocious lion and things like that. And he does have wrath. Yes, it's true. But the lion and the lamb come together. And there's no harm. There's no more harm being done. There's no threat of a lion being with a lamb. Because Jesus is both in himself. And he's kind and good and generous. Yes, he does have judgment against sin. Yes, it did cause God a great deal for his son to die on the cross. But that's the kind of God he is. That's the kind of God he is. And so in our own minds, we see these kind of things and we think, that's strange, it can't be. That's because we don't understand God. But God reveals himself to us through his Spirit today so that we can see just how magnificent he is. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. Do you see that exciting word here? That it's not just, Lord, be my shepherd through this time of my life, but Lord, be my shepherd forever, forevermore. Right? Guiding us and protecting us and loving us and keeping us from harm, keeping us from being hungry, giving us all the water that we want to be able to enjoy. And he will guide them to springs of living water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will guide them to springs of living water. He's guiding us as a shepherd in heaven, guiding these people there. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Tears that come from the life that we endure here on earth and the things that cause us pain will be no more. And that instills in us hope. Brianne was teaching about hope last night. It's the hope that God is going to give us those beautiful things. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and he will wipe every tear away from your eyes when you give him your life and you let him have your hand, and he guides you and he shows you where the water is, and he takes his loving hand and he wipes away tears and he says, I love you. I love you. I will never stop loving you, and you are mine forevermore, and I have a place in heaven for you, and I want you to be with me. Come to me. And that, when we turn it into our witness, is the most beautiful message that we could ever give to anyone. And we have the honor of presenting that to people. Think about the impact that you can have on people when they're crying and they're weeping and they're feeling like life has no meaning and something has happened to cause them to feel that there isn't that light in their lives. And you say, yes, there is. It's the glory of God. You can come into his presence. I just want to read some scriptures to you as we go into communion. In John 1:29, it says, the next day he saw Jesus, this is John the Baptist, Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I love that verse. It's a man looking and seeing the fulfillment of his purpose in life. That he was sent as a forerunner to the Savior, and he looks up and he sees Jesus coming toward him and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The most beautiful thing. Not just I see a friend or I see someone who's coming toward me who makes me happy and I've heard about him and I know him, but he came to take away the sins of the world. And that is what we say. Behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He takes away the sin of the world. Commit those to your heart and speak them. Spread the news. Spread the good news. Let those people become a part of the multitude in heaven. In John 10, chapter 10, we read, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I love this one too, don't you? Right? I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. Don't we need a good shepherd in our lives? Parents are good shepherds, right? They shepherd their children. They guide them where they can go. They're an extension of God. coming into our lives. Oh, if we would look at our parents that way and to say that they were given to us as a shepherd to guide us into the right way, then we would remember, yes, I remember. I wasn't open to it, but I remember hearing those words. You need to go this way. You're getting off, but you need to go this way. What a remarkable thing it is when we say, yes, you're right, shepherd. Yes, you're right, shepherd. I am going to do that. I'm going to do what you said, because we're obedient to God in this way. The Lord is my shepherd. We heard it in the call to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He leads me beside the cool waters. He leads me to places of restoration, the cool waters, and that is connected with this last part here in our scripture today, the living water. Not in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Not in heaven there, but on earth with the people that were experiencing, God led them to heavenly things. Amen. Isaiah 40:11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. When we hold a child in our arms, can you think about it that way? When you have the gift of a life and you're carrying it in your arms and you're like, oh, wow, I don't know what to do. I really, you know, it takes your breath away. And you start to feel like, oh, wow, I'm really, you know, I need to take care of this little bundle of love in my arms here. I don't want anything to happen to it. And that's what you see here. And that's you. And then we come to Exodus 15:13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. That was at the time that Moses was singing and this song to praise God because he had led the people of God. He had redeemed them and led them through the Red Sea. And then the waters closed on their enemies, and they were safe and free to go into the promised land. And he says, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. And this is looking toward heaven as well. He leads us in heaven as well. We are redeemed, not just here on earth. We are given an eternal redemption, one that lasts forever. And we are led by our shepherd and will follow him. The psalmist wrote, lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Aren't those wonderful words for us today when we're tempted to go somewhere? You know, earlier we're confessing our sins, the things that we've fallen short on, and he loves us and he forgives us of those things. But he leads us in his righteousness to show us what is right and to also help us when we're doing something wrong to know that it's that way. We are following a righteous God. He's leading us in his righteousness because it leads to things that are good for us, things that are going to be fruitful for us, things that are going to go deep and teach us the most beautiful things and express things in pianos and in all kinds of instruments and all through art and all different kinds of means that God has given to mankind as a to express himself. It's beautiful. In Psalm 36:8-9, they feast on the abundance of your house and you give them drink from the river of your delights. Oh, it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? For you, with you is the fountain of life. With you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Can you see the way that God uses this language that we speak and that we are reading here to reveal himself to us? Real light is found in his light. The light that we see here is not, it's temporary, but there will be only the light of God when we go to heaven. There won't be any need for the sun. There won't be any need for the moon. There won't be any need for the stars, because God's light will be sufficient for all things. John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And lastly, John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Isn't that beautiful? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want to express in our lives? To say, I want to have this river of living water flowing out of my heart. And God will give it to you freely. It's a free gift. It's a treasure. Give up everything for it. Let's just worship him. We have a responsive song today that is filled with these kind of contrasts that help us, and it's a little bit different than the normal kind of wording, but it's still very, very powerful and helpful for us. And we may not be able to take all of these in, but I just want to give you a foretaste. Could we please have the first verse and maybe the... So you, Lord, are both lamb and shepherd. You, Lord, are both prince and slave. You, peacemaker and sword bringer of the way you took and gave. You, the everlasting instant, you whom we both scorn and crave. And so that instant, I think maybe I won't go through all the words, you can sing them, but the instant, the part where he's talking about this, the everlasting instant, it means that God always was, he is now, and ever will be. And that is what is, that's what the author was trying to say in that instant. He's real in this instant as he always was and he always will be. And so that helps us to be able to appreciate these things that God teaches us, right? And so as we go through this song, it's a very well-known melody. We can sing it together, but take it in. And if you want a copy of it, I can send it to you. You can really use this as a prayer in your life to be able to learn these things, to appreciate all the different aspects of God, so that we can appreciate him here and sing to his praises. Okay, so let's sing together. You, Lord, are both lamb and shepherd. Lee Chan will play the melody through for us, and then we can stand and sing.